when dealing with the parsha of the Egel, there are the chayra two prerequisites. First is to understand that it's poshut impossible to see the Meister as Klal Yisrael being Oved Avodah Zarah while they are still at Har Sinai. Not sure. On the other hand, we know of this Meister as being the Makur of Chait Ben Odom Lamokud. And somewhere between these two impenetrable statements is what happened in the episodes of the Egel. Perhaps to start with a number of questions within the psukim themselves and see from there how we are supposed to take something from this. First question is that if Klal Yisrael is going to make radical changes, whether they're going to turn away the Klal or whether they're just going to change it in ways that would have a very strong impact. Either way, the last person to go to in order to carry out these changes is Moshe Rabbeinu's brother. If you're about to change the whole religion, the last person you go to is the person who's effectively Moshe Rabbeinu's deputy. Secondly, with whatever the medrash that they saw that Moshe Rabbeinu was no longer alive, which l'chaira means that they saw him now as essentially an neshama without a guf, somebody who would not be able to understand their needs and therefore was no longer able to be their manhig. But why go from there to making an egel? Where is the logical progression from the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu is no longer around to the fact that you now need an egel hazav? Moreover, if they are now decided on this course of action, how is it shayach that Aaron is prepared to help? With the fact that Hur had been killed, im kol zeh, how is Aaron prepared in any way to help them? Shihor Paliyahu, how is he prepared to even give them an etzah of what to do? Yes, he was delaying them, but the Maisa, he took their gold and silver, their gold. Then, moving chronologically, HaKadosh Baruch Hu then tells Moshe Rabbeinu, Lech Reid, Shiches Amacho, and Moshe Rabbeinu goes down, and it's bavus that the kasha why he takes the luchis with him. Did he not believe HaKadosh Baruch Hu? That's the reason there is to show them what they have done, to show them the churban that they have created. Okay. He then comes down, he sees Aaron, and he says to Aaron, you must have been under tremendous pressure, I assume, to make this. Me'er osa l'cha ha'om hazeh, ki hevesa olav chato'o gedela. What did they do to you that you would actually agree to build the egel? It must have been something extraordinary. So Aaron says, well, listen, al yichar af adoni, don't get annoyed, you know what they're like. Vayemruli aseilom elehim, so they asked me for an avodah zara, so vayemruhem, so I made them. It was Sunday afternoon, they were bored, it was raining outside, they asked for an avodah zara, so build them an avodah zara, al yichar af adoni. Don't get annoyed, you know these things happen. That is going to calm Moshe Rabbeinu down. What's the explanation? I mean, what's going on here? And finally, if it is the makir of chait in Adam Lamokai, why were so few people killed? We know of 3,000 people directly, and the chayre in the plague and in the hashkar, 24,000 or maybe around those numbers. So we're talking about a total of less than 30,000 people, which is 1%. Klal Yisrael. That's 99% not being punished. Well, there's 3 million. So 300,000, 3 million is 1%. 30,000 altogether would be 1%. So, we have to understand what exactly the the Maisa actually is. The normative approach to the Parshas Ha'egel is based on the Ramban, equally the Kuzari, the Evan Ezra. They all have a similar mahalach, and that is that when Klal Yisrael ask for the Egel, they are not asking to replace HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but to replace Moshe Rabbeinu. They need an intermediary, and in fact they state that in the opening pasuk when they say to Aaron, Afeilonu Elohim Asher Yelchu Lefaneinu Ki Zeh Moshe HaIsh Asher Elonu Meretz Mitzrayim Lo Yadanu Mehaelai. That's what we're looking to replace, Moshe Rabbeinu. And if that's the case, that what they're looking for is a form of a manhig, or a form of some form of intermediary between them and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we can understand that the request is not that outlandish. We can understand how Aaron is prepared to go along with it, whether it's for delaying tactics or because he felt there was some good that could come of it, without going into the whole issue of what exactly was Aaron's motivation. But it's clear that therefore what he's doing is not building a Avodah Zarah, and why he could say to Moshe, Al Yecharach Adoni, they wanted a replacement for you. No? Okay. And at the same time, we can see how Klal Yisrael have not departed that far from Matan Torah. In other words, Klal Yisrael are still looking for Kedusha, but they've chosen the symbol of the Shoyer. Why? So there is a famous Medrash which Rashi brings down in Parshas Bashalach at Kriyas Yom Kippur, that on Zeh Keli Vanveyu, Zeh means to point, Rasa Shivcho Bayam Mashaloi Ro Yecheskel Ben Buzi. Even a Shivcho had the zchus to have a vision at Kriyas Yom Kippur, famous the continuation of Rav Chaim Shmulevitz of the Geblibin HaShivcho. But the Maisa, the Shivcho was given a vision, even the Shivcho, of the Maisa Merkava, because that's what Yecheskel HaNovi was shown, as we have in the Psukim. And they were therefore able to see the four images which are on the Kisei HaKovid: the Aryeh, the Nesher, Pnei Odom, and Pnei Shoyer. There are four images if they're on the Kisei HaKovid. The Kisei HaKovid is, so to speak, the method through which HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Melech, the method through which HaKadosh Baruch Hu is seen in this world. In which case, these four images are the intermediaries between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And they chose specifically the image of the Shoyer, because two out of those four images are on the left, which is the Midas HaDin. They are in the Midbar, which is a place of din. In the Midbar, there isn't the Tesco's. It's what you bring with you that you survive with. If you didn't bring it with, it isn't there. In addition, they are in Midbar Shur. And this explains the emphasis on the gold. Gold, as we know, reflects Midas HaDin. That's why in Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol doesn't wear it. The construct that they are involved in is given the time and the place. If they want to build the intermediary, it has to be a show. That will be a representation. And we might think to ourselves, but surely that's so off, that's so vite from Yiddishkeit, building an image out of gold as an intermediary between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's so far from the way a Jew thinks. Is it? Go back to Sedras, to Parashas Truma, where we are told to make kruvim out of gold on top of the orin, and it's mibein ha-kruvim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks to us. So it's not that far, the concept of having an image. When we give covered when the Oron Kodesh is opened, when we bow towards a Sefer Torah. It's an image, it's an object. No one in their right minds believes that in any way this is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But we give a certain amount of kovod to those objects that absolutely represent what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from us, or what HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us is a valid intermediary. So it's not that far. It's not so rochek min asfar. The concept is one which exists and very central to the construction of the Mishkan. If that's the case, so we understand why Aaron goes along with it, we understand why they built the Egel. What perhaps is now difficult to understand is what's so wrong about it. Why is it the Makor Chet Ben Ovan Lamochet? What they were doing more or less with the right motivation, for good reason, and more or less it's a valid idea. The problem is the problem that Yeshaya writes in the Haftarah of Chazon, Mi Bikesh Zos Miyedchem. Who asked you? Who asked you to build this? It's not so much what you built, but why you built it. It's not so much that it was an external manifestation of Avodah Zarah, but it's an internal manifestation of it. You are now deciding what should be built as an appropriate intermediary between yourselves and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Where's the tzivut? Kedusha comes by doing that which HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from you. In fact, that's why Parshas Parah is inextricably linked to the Egel, and often as it is this week in the Parsha of the Egel, because the whole concept there is that it's not down to your human logic alone. You actually can't fathom everything. There is a concept of Matameh Satahirim, Matarah Satameim, which doesn't make any sense. Yeah, fine, so it doesn't make any sense to you, but nevertheless that's the way we create Kedusha. We follow Tzivui Hashem. For it to be down to Klal Yisrael to decide where there is Kedusha, to be a homocentric religion almost, that we are the ones that decide how to do things, that's Avodah Zarah. It's not the worship of Avodah Zarah, but it's the internal creation of Avodah Zarah. And with that, we are also connecting to the whole episode, so to speak, of Parshas Zohar. Firstly, in the Haftarah itself, on the Shabbos that we just had, where Shmuel says to Shaul, you didn't carry out that which I thought Shmuel told you to do. And Shaul says, but I kept the animals as korbanos. Who asked? Who asked you to do that? What you have to do is lishmaya. What HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from you is to do that which HaKadosh Baruch Hu asked you to do, with all the cheshbonos. That is the, that's the downfall. And similarly, Haman, Maral points out, Haman is gematria odom nun, that the human being controls the 50th level. We don't believe that. That chasreu ma'at me'elikim. We can only achieve the 49th level, which means that there is an area that we're only brought to when HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings us there. And hence the emphasis in the Megillah on the Yasu Eitz Gvoya Hamishim Amah. Who cares the dimensions of the gallows? The concept is after the Hamishim. The question was, who was going to swing from the gallows? Haman or Mordechai? Who actually controls the 50th level? Is it Odom Nun? Or is it HaKadosh Baruch Hu? And the Megillah clearly proves who it is. As such, the whole idea of Amalek, of V'loy Yirei Elokim, is that I'm in charge. I decide. the whole concept of what we have to try and internalize from Parshas Zohar, from Parshas Parah, and from the Egel, is that the real Avodas Hashem is doing what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants, whether we follow the logic all the way through or not. And in saying that, we now understand the word that leaps out at us in the first pasuk in their request to Aaron. Asay lonu Elohim. Use of the word Elohim. Now, Elohim means, in various contexts, a power. Kodesh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu that when he goes to Pharaoh, he will be Elohim. We know in Parshas Mishpatim, Bezdin is referred to as Elohim. In this context, what did they mean? So, excuse me, Yeshaya Novi tells us, Se'u morim einechem, uru'u mi bora eile. Look around you and see who really created the world. Ru'u, see mi bora eile. But rather than just being a poetic turn of phrase, mi bora eile, mi bora eile, me and Eile together make up the word Elohim. What is necessary in order to understand the difference between Elohim and Elohim is to see where it comes from. If it's just a power, it's Elohim, then it turns to Avodah Zarah possibly. Whereas if we understand that it's the me, that level of 50, Gematria 50, which is Bara the Eile, if you understand that all powers, all Elohims in the world come from me, come from the Mem Yud, the 50th Dargah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then you're in good shape. If Se'u Morim Einechem, if you look at the sun and the moon, and rather than seeing it as an independent power, you understand that it's the me that was Bara the Eile, that's fine. But if you just see Elohim, you just see that there are various powers in the world, then we're on the wrong track. And therefore, at the moment that the Egel was created, and they were told, Eile Elohecha Yisrael, they are menatek the me from Elohim. It's left with Eile. And it's left to Moshe Rabbeinu to say, Mi Lashem Eilai. The me has to be put back in order to get back to Yudke Vovke, in order to differentiate between that and Lahavdil Elav Havdolos, Elohim as being a power. That's where we need to return to, because that's where we've gone away from. Eventually, the Egel was an Avodah Zarah. Initially, it starts out as a quest for an intermediary, as a way to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a replacement for Moshe Rabbeinu, with the mistake that no one asked for it. But eventually it actually turns into Avodah Zarah. Sechoik is an explosion of laughter. That it is either as the name Yitzchok, a spiritual one, or Yishmael, Yitzchok, or it's Gila Arayas, Avodah Zarah, Shechas Domim, it's the exact opposite, but it's an extreme word. So that Vayakum al Tzachek denotes when things turned from being an intermediary to being an Avodah Zarah. And it's poshut that that's the way it is. Otherwise, it makes no sense why Moshe Rabbeinu is still on Har Sinai. Let's face it, if the Egel was originally constructed as an Avodah Zarah, then why was Moshe still on Har Sinai that night? Why is it that it was only the next morning that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent him down? Building up a Gezara, Shorifah Liyavah, why was he still there? Because when it was built, it wasn't an Avodah Zarah. It was only the next morning. And in fact, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe what they have done, we find, interestingly, in Pasuk Zayin and in Pasuk Tes. In Pasuk Zayin, by Davar Hashem al Moshe, Leich Reid Kishichei Samcha Chayin Lisa Meres Mitzrayim, Soru Mahir Min Aderach, etc. Osu Lehem Egel Masecha. That's Zayin and Tes. Then in Tes, without Moshe replying, Vayomer Hashem al Moshe, Reisi Yisra Amazev Inei Am Chei Erefu, Hanicha Levi Yichar Api Vahem, Vahachale. So our Kodesh Baruch Hu speaks twice, by Davar Hashem and by Yom Hashem, one in Pasuk Zayin, one in Pasuk Tes, and Moshe hasn't replied between the two. What are the two statements that Kodesh Baruch Hu is saying, and why is it that in the second statement he wants to wipe them out? Because in the first statement what is being said is they made an Egel Masecha, that's a problem. In the second statement we're talking about those who were Oved Avodah Zarah, and therefore Va'achale, those people I want to wipe out. And in the end, that's why those people are actually killed. They were beyond redemption. They had to be wiped out. And even though Moshe Rabbeinu has davened not to wipe out Klal Yisrael, he then organizes Shevet Levi to start killing people. Why? Because there are a group of people where the Avodah Zarah was not internal alone, it was external. It's Hasra, Edim, different groups, therefore they had to be killed. But there were two different things going on virtually at the same time. What still has to be understood is the Mir Nevuchim has a very famous comment about Avodah Zarah and Korbanos, where we are told that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the Avodah of Korbanos in order to remove from us the taiva of Avodah Zarah, to move us in a different direction. And those who only know of the Mir Nevuchim when it comes to the Rambam but don't really learn the Rambam think that that's the be all and end all, the quote unquote scholars. That's where they finish with the Rambam, which actually makes no sense, because we know that in Hilchos Me'ilah, at the very end, the Rambam writes very clearly that there are certain mitzvahs for which we do not know the reason, and he includes Korbanos specifically in that short list, which means that ultimately the Rambam is telling us that the yesod of Korbanos is beyond our havana. So what does the Rambam mean in Mir Nevuchim? That there is an aspect of Korbanos in the Tamei HaMitzvahs, as far as we're able to do so, as far as we're able to reach, there's an aspect in there that moves people away from a natural Natiya to worship. And in creating Korbanos, we are able to deal with that aspect of a person's Avodas Hashem. What went wrong here at the Egel was that not so much, as we said, that they were actually being Oved Avodah Zarah, but that there was a Natiya to do things my way. That's the Natiya that the Mir Nevuchim is talking about. The fact that I have a desire to do things my way. That is the Chet. And hence, we find with Yerovam ben Nevat, how does he counter the Avodah of Korbanos in the Beis HaMikdash? By creating two golden calves. Because the symbolism is that which the Mir Nevuchim discusses, that there is a natural Natiya for Avodah Zarah. That Natiya in 21st century terms is the Natiya for independence. To do things my way. That I should be the one that decides. And it could be in the most religious of areas. But the moment I'm deciding, that is the equivalent of the initial Natiya of Klal Yisrael at the time of the Egel. The Asei Lono Elohim, because I've decided this is the way to be Oved HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Even if it's quote unquote the Shem Shemayim. But the reality is it can only be the Shem Shemayim if Shemayim has asked for it. That's the issue. The Akedah Yitzchak points out, though, that there's one further aspect which is also very negea to a specific halacha lemaisa that we can take out of the Ega. There's a Gemara, beginning of Avodah Zarah, actually quote a first Gemara and then we'll then come on to that one. There's a Gemara in the beginning of Brachos. Gemara says, Ezu ben Olim haba, hasomech geula l'tfila. It seems extraordinary that just by going from Parsha of Tzitzis into the first Brach of Shemona Esrei, by being Somech Geula L'Tfila, a person already achieves the level of being a Ben Olam Haba. So Rabbeinu Yonah in Brachos asks the reason for this, and essentially has the Chakira, is it a din in Geula or a din in Tfila? And he gives two answers, one of which echoes each of those two ideas. The one that is nogea to us is as follows. He says, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu take us out of Mitzrayim in order that we should become avodim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? To leave the name Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, they are mine, they are the avodim, avodai heim, they are my servants. The act of tefillah is an act of avodah, is an act of being an eved of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Somebody who is somech geula l'tefillah, somebody who has tefillah, after mentioning the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out of Mitzrayim, is carrying out the purpose for which Yetzias Mitzrayim happened. He is being an eved Hashem. He is continuing or reaching the goal of Yetzias Mitzrayim. But that only happens if a person is an Eved Hashem. The moment a person does it their way, what they have done is they have stopped Geulas Mitzrayim. What they did at the Egan is to bring Geulas Mitzrayim to an end in a certain way. By not being Somech Geula L'Tfila. By not being a Vodim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Akedah Yitzchak quotes Gemara in Avodah Zarah that the reason Klal Yisrael served the Egel is to give Pischoin Peh to Balei Tshuva in order to create the knowledge that you can do Tshuva from Averus. That's why they served the Egel. Akedah Yitzchak says it doesn't make any sense. If the reason they built the Ega is in order to show future Doris that you can do tshuva, then they were doing a mitzvah maybe, or hechstens. It was an avera lishma. It was perhaps not the right thing to do, but how bad was it? How can you call it the makor of Chayk ben Adam Lamoket? They did it, and the Gemara writes that they did it for positive reasons. Moreover, it's self-defeating. If the reason they did it is to show how far tshuva goes, well, what they've done is not really that bad anymore, and therefore it's not much of a proof how far tshuva can go, because they didn't really do much of an avera. So maybe tshuva helps when you don't do much of an avera. How do you know that it helps when you mamash do something which is wrong? Okay, as Yitzchak says, that's not what the Gemara means. The reason they sinned at the ego is based on the pasuk in Noach, ki yetzer lev ha'odom ra min urav. The truth of the matter is that a person has a yetzer hara at all times, irrespective. Yetzer lev ha'odom ra min urav. However, the Torah isn't looking for sainthood. The Torah isn't looking for perfection. The Torah is looking for tshuva after chet. The Torah does not expect us never to sin. The Torah knows that essentially that we will sin. But what the Torah wants us to do more than anything else is admit and do tshuva. And therefore, the purpose of recording Parashas Ha'egel, says the Gemara, is to give a pischein peh to Balei Tshuva, to know that there's always the possibility of tshuva. But there are actually therefore two statements contained within this. The first is to know that there's no such thing as a guarantee. There's no such thing as a person who's able to say, I won't sin anymore. Because even at Matan Torah, at Har Sinai, 40 days afterwards, Klal Yisrael were able to fall into a trap. Klal Yisrael were able to commit a chait. There's no such thing as a guarantee. But even more powerfully than that, it's important to know that we should never be miyayish. We should never say to ourselves, I've gone too far, or there's no way back. Because the pischon peh is that that is the norm. We're not able to live without chait altogether. What HaKadosh Baruch Hu requires is tshuva. And the Sforno says about Odom HaRishon that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu asked him, Amino Eitz HaZeh, if he would have said, yes, I'm sorry, and done tshuva, he would have undone the chait. Because it isn't perfection. It's the concept of being able to do tshuva for it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is looking for. So that, practically, from the ego, the fact that they sinned is a given under many circumstances. But the fact that they didn't do tshuva is what was lacking. And that is the limit for us not to be miyayish, to know that that's how we are made, that there's always a way back.